You're listening to Humboldt Holding Up, brought to you by Los Bagels, bringing the community pastries, fresh baked bagels, of course, and my personal favorite, the famous slug. Los Bagels also now has orange babka bread available on Mondays and Fridays. Los Bagels, they're here, baking through it, 7 days a week, at 403 2nd Street in Eureka and 1061 I Street in Arcata, or visit losbagels.com.
Happy Humboldt, everyone. It's Humboldt Holding Up. You all know what it's about at this point. You know what you're getting yourself into. If you clicked on this, you're listening. It's the Lost Coast Outpost podcast where we talk to folks in the community. It's fun. You like it.
So fun.
My name is Stephanie McCary.
And my name is Andrew Goff. Right off the top here, I'll do a little finger wagging. You know, we're done with that election. So now all we have to focus on right now is the winter months are coming. It's getting cold winter out there. The cases, COVID cases are on the rise. Please put on a mask. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay. Thank you for that.
And get a test. You know,
I got tested.
Yes, that's right.
The other day, came back negative.
That's very good.
Is that something you boast about?
That's good news for me. I see you sometimes. Is that something you boast about? I don't know. I mean, it kind of feels like it. It's a little, you know, I mean, it's a relief, right? I'm scheduled for next week myself. So.
Okay. At Redwood Acres?
Yep. That's the one. Yeah.
Well, a little bit of housekeeping off the top. Again, Humboldt Holding Up is now available on iTunes. You can subscribe to this so you can get these delivered right into your phone. And if you are a person that owns a business or just a person that wants to put your message out on this podcast, you can do so by emailing advertise@lostcoastoutpost.com. I think that's it.
Yep. That's it. Housekeeping.
Who do we got this week, Steph?
Well, I'm pretty excited this week to be talking to a local character and a longtime columnist in the area. You might know him from the North Coast Journal's Field Notes or from our own Growing Old Ungracefully that we post on the Lost Coast Outpost. Mr. Barry Evans is going to be joining us. And he's also just a, you know, he's a fun guy. He's an old town character.
Well, and any day that I can spend some time speaking with somebody with a British accent, I just feel uplifted.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see if we can get him in here. We can chat it up with Barry. What's up, Barry?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound pretty good.
We appreciate you agreeing to this odd little experiment.
Yeah.
My wife talked me into it. So
that's okay. Nice. Why
why did you have reservations, Barry?
Because I'm about to bugger off to Mexico, where we have a home. In two weeks' time, and it just felt a bit like, hey Humboldt, enjoy winter. I'm out of here.
Like you're abandoning us. That's
you have a home in Mexico. Why would you not go to it?
You're not the only ones. Snowbirds. Thank you.
It was so funny. Last I think December we were lining up outside our local theater there for a symphony concert, and there's Dwayne Flatmore and company who come over. You know, they go to Sayulita fairly regularly.
Yeah.
So there's a small contingent of this.
Now, do you worry about you've checked the local reports of for COVID down there?
Guanajuato is actually pretty good. It's one of the better states. They're in four tiers down there, and we've been in the best or the next to best for the last six months. Luisa flew there yesterday, and she called me from downtown about an hour ago. Said everyone is in masks.
Yeah. Cool.
How's that? Good.
We'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
So it's probably safer than here right now if you've been following the numbers here.
Barry, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is, you know, because you've lived in Old Town through this whole unprecedented ordeal, you know, through the initial shelter in place and opening up some, and now the weather's turning colder. You know, on the days I do sneak down here to the office, I'd say the odds that I'll see you out scurrying around are better than just about anyone else. So I thought you'd be able to, you know, describe for posterity or whatever, how Eureka has changed during this period. Like, what's, you know, I consider you someone that kind of appreciates the opera of Old Town. And
absolutely, yeah.
This has been a weird time.
Well, let me just give you a little bit of history here. We, you know, why we're here and why we choose to live in Old Town. We were living in the Bay Area for 15 years, I guess. And we were both working for ourselves there. I'm a recovering civil engineer, and I got into marketing and PR stuff. And so I was, I had this niche market, just my own one person company, and I would hire people as I needed them, doing marketing for engineering and architectural and contracting firms down there. And Louisa was doing a lot of business management training for, this was the dot-com era, so she was working for Apple and Sun and Oracle and all the big names there. And in 1999, we realized we were just ready for a break. We were working our asses off and we wanted something else. So basically, we fucked off out of the country for 20 months. With that, a week before we left, we didn't know where we were going.
Wow.
And we ended up in Mexico, we ended up in Turkey, we ended up in the Middle East and Egypt, Greece, and we started and ended, as it happened, in Guanajuato, which we hadn't heard of before we left. And when we came back, either we changed or the Bay Area had changed, and the traffic was just horrendous. And was like, no, this isn't where we want to live. We want to live somewhere quieter, smaller. And I wanted the coast, and Louisa wanted community. So basically, we bought this clapped up old VW van. We now have a newer one, actually. And we drove, and we spent 2 weeks driving up and down the coast. And there are five communities, you know, north of San Francisco: Mendocino, Fort Bragg, here, Arcata, Crescent City. We would have included Brookings, except the average age there is about 105. So we decided that wasn't for us.
You're discriminating against the old Barry.
Yeah, wait a minute. And well, you wouldn't have fit into that demographic, Barry?
Well, not 1999. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was once a young man.
My apologies.
Anyway, we just glommed on to Eureka as being right by the bay here. And then Louisa found us this apartment. This is the apartment that we got in June 2001, and we're still here.
Wow, that's incredible.
Our landlord says, we'll never leave. And he makes it sound like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So we realize the advantages of being right here, right, not just in Eureka, but in Old Town. Yeah. I'm a kayaker. Louisa is a paddleboarder, three or four times a week, and I often follow along on my kayak. So we love the water, but what we really like here is we never have to drive. And I realize driving for me, I don't know if this is just getting old or having been in the Bay Area for so long. I want to minimize my driving as much as possible.
Sure.
So we got the co-op, we got grocery outlets. My second office is, I think you know, is Old Town Coffee. And I'm there most mornings at 8 o'clock. I used to, when Starbucks was open for inside sitting at 5 a.m., I would be there every morning at 5 a.m. And that's when I write. My best writing time is between, you know, 5 and 7:30 in the morning. After that, my head.
It's very quiet. Nobody's sending you messages. Nothing's dinging at 5 in the morning.
And I like the ambiance of people around, writing, as you know, can be really a lonely occupation. And I love having people around who aren't bothering me, but just that sort of sound of conversation and everything, or a little bit of background music or something. So somehow it works for me. And I think, you know, I'm writing, what, 6 or 7 columns a month now between for Loco and the journal.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I consider myself, you know, half retired or something, because, you know, I put a bit of effort into it. I hope you know this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you chose Old Town, though. It's like I don't think for most, you know, you classify yourself as a retiree. I don't think that Old Town, you know, I think most people would rather retire somewhere quiet, and Old Town has a little bit of chaos to it that I understand why it's attractive to you, knowing you.
We have never had a hassle here. We've never been. Lewis has been sworn out a few times. I have, but nothing where you would say that we have ever felt unsafe here. This is actually a fun area to live in. We can just walk outside, and the library's just a few blocks away. We've got coffee shop. There's often something happening, and of course we got the market. We've got, when it happens, we've got the Arts Alive, and also when COVID isn't happening, we've got Thursday night open mic at Old Town. It feels cozy, and this apartment is very cozy here.
So, but to bring it back around, as you just did to COVID, I mean, you chose this spot for the vibrancy and the color of it,
and the water
Do you feel like you've lost a little bit, or Eureka has lost a little bit of the things that you loved about it because of lockdown? Because, you know, some businesses have closed down. Like, how would you describe the experience of Eureka now?
I'm not sure that many more businesses are closed than were closed. We've always had this
turnover.
I don't know, 10-20% empty storefronts here. So I'm not sure. They're struggling, and I've talked to them who are struggling, but, you know, like Bagels is open, Old Town Coffee, and Ramones is open. Both the bookstores are open here, limited, but they're keeping going. They aren't giving up by any means. When Old Town Lighting moved out of the corner spot on 2nd and F, immediately the next door clothing store leased it and moved in. Many Hands is staying open. It's pretty much a story of resilience here.
Resilient Eureka.
Sorry,
you are painting the rosiest picture of COVID.
It's like
nothing changed for you.
Nothing has changed.
Well, I mean, we are blessed, because we're not struggling for an income. You know, we're on social, and you know, and big bucks from Loco, obviously.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. In fact, so, you know, since you mentioned that, Barry, you know, you were saying you're a local writer. You do a couple of different columns, and one of them is for us, Growing Old Ungracefully, which will probably be posted at about the same time as this podcast. Actually, they both come out on Sundays.
It's going to be an all Barry Sunday on Loco.
It's going to be an all Barry Sunday this Sunday. We thought, I mean, would you like to, with this accompanying podcast, give us a little bit of a preview of what you've written about this week? Like, what's been on your mind lately?
Oh, well, it's called Kamala and COVID.
Okay.
This one, because it's obviously got a political angle, will get lots of angry comments. And, you know,
I'm...
Well, someone's reading it, you know. Basically, I post them, and then Sunday night I'll be lying on the sofa thumbing through, seeing if there's anything worthy of attention.
You know? That's brave of you.
I leave them to it.
Yeah. I can't always do that myself. Can't always look at the comments on my own articles.
Well, I've got a few loyal supporters, and whatever I write, you can guarantee there are going to be some people who will say you're an asshole. You know, period. You know, whatever you've written. I haven't even read what you've written, but you're an asshole. You know. And then there's a bunch of other people. And it seems to be about 50-50 who said, well, actually, this sort of makes sense. And here's some more evidence to back up what Barry's saying. You know,
do you get into debates with people like sitting in Old Town Coffee and Chocolates? Like people come up and be like, you know what you wrote this week, Barry, is absolute garbage, and here's why.
You know, I'm not sure I've ever had that happen. I've had many people say thank you for what you write, and I never know if they're commenting on Loco or the journal, but I leave it. I'll just take compliments.
You just say okay, sure. Don't question.
Even if it's sarcastic, I'll say thank you very much.
So Kamala and COVID. What do you have to say about this, Barry?
We get more in depth.
Well, I did a bit of research for this to see how the 22 countries out of the United Nations, 193 countries in the world, how the 22 who are female-led are doing in terms of COVID.
Yeah.
And with a couple of exceptions, they're doing pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence. If you Google something like female leadership, you will find a ton of articles saying women make better leaders than men, and there are obvious reasons for that. You know, women have kids, and they really don't want to lose kids to a war, for instance, or you know, they want what's best for their family. They aren't nuts like we are.
Well, I can't say that I disagree with what you're saying, Barry, about that.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is though, is it a chicken or the egg kind of thing? Are these countries doing better with COVID because they are led by women, or is it, you know, just kind of a, you know, they elect women because they are more progressive and inclusive countries, and therefore they are already able to handle something like this?
Yeah, well, you know, this is the beauty of writing a column and leaving it to the commentators to figure that out. I mean, how do you know, you know? Well, you can do a lot of research, but
But Kamala, you posit that she's coming in, and that she has, you know, because of all of the hurdles she's had to overcome in order to ascend to the position that she has, she's gonna kick ass, is your assumption.
Well, I mean, you and I, Andrew, have never had to deal with worrying about do we have our period pills or
your period pills.
that's true, Barry.
Or is our skirt too short to make us look like a slut, or too long to make us look like some Victorian nanny or something? Or are you sure that I've done my face right today? Maybe I should check. You know, we don't have to deal with these things.
Yes.
I start off with the story when we lived in Palo Alto. I had a female Iranian doctor, and the fact that she was female and Iranian in my mind meant she'd had to go through a damn sight more hurdles than a white American male doctor had. So she was going to be a better doctor, and you know, I mean, it's just anecdotal, of course, but she was wonderful. I miss her.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying with that. I do think that maybe some of the hurdles that women have to overcome are, you know, more than just worrying about having their period pills, as you called them. which I assume you mean like Midol or something. Okay.
Midol, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Period pills.
Cramps. Well, I don't know if you remember when Sally Ride went into space, so there was all this stuff about how many tampons should she need for a week.
Oh, and goodness.
The male engineer said, will 100 be enough? And she was like, actually, guys, 50 should do it. And then they said, yeah, but if your re-entry gets delayed and you're up there for another week, 50 do it, guys. You know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah. What do you think is going on down there? Yeah.
Well, actually, you don't know. You know, maybe gravity... gravity wave.
Yeah.
No one had done this. You
know? I like the idea of a room full of male NASA scientists sitting around being like, yes. What are we gonna do when these female astronauts have their period in zero
gravity?
Exactly.
Like, they can't figure that out. A bunch of physicists and stuff. That's
maybe we could ask the female astronaut. Okay.
Oh my
and what
God.
Do we do with the anyway?
It's
yeah.
still it's still it's the mystique.
Yeah. Jermaine Greer understood this in a way that that Andrew, you and I never will.
Yes.
Yeah.
I accept that. So Barry, you mentioned, you know, you and Louisa had been working in the Bay Area for years, but I want to go a little bit farther back just because I don't know all of your history. I think most people listening to this will have picked up on your Southern California accent. Is that what that is? So I was just wondering a little bit about, you know, where, you know, prior to the Bay Area, you obviously spent some time in the UK.
Well, I'm from outside London, and Mum and Dad had just moved down from Wales, so I never know. And they were totally Welsh, and my granddad barely spoke English at all. So I, you know, I'm somewhere between English and Welsh. And I was in after I graduated in engineering in London, I went out to New Zealand. So I was, some people can hear that in my voice.
Oh.
Okay. I was out there for 4 years. Then, skipping a bit, I ended up in Vancouver, British Columbia. And Louisa, who had been at college in Tulane in New Orleans, also went to Vancouver, and we met in a touchy-feely group there in 1974.
I'll risk it. What is that? What is a touchy-feely group?
That was what we used to call it then. Sensory, what do you call it? Where you go around and you have your eyes closed and you're trying to get to know someone by...
This is where you met Louisa?
Yeah. I was doing their newsletter at the time. I was writing at the time.
Okay.
It was a Wednesday evening. This was in the 70s, early 70s, and okay. it was all this sort of gestalt and transcendental meditation and trying this particular color pill, that particular color pill, or smoking something, or but mostly it was in gestalt therapy was a big thing, massage. So we were doing a lot of, there was a wonderful guy who used to talk about who'd written a book titled On Having No Head, and he really believed that we don't actually have heads, you know. I mean, this is the
okay.
sort of, he was wonderful, by the way.
So get back to the touchy-feely party.
I ended up giving Louisa a ride home, and the rest is the history.
You liked her face shape.
And we're sitting,
the feel.
And we're sitting in my car outside her apartment. I said, can I come up? She said, well, I don't really have anything. I said, well, you know, just a glass of wine or a beer. No, I don't have any wine or beer. Well, do you have
you dog Mary?
You know, do you have a Coke or something? You know, No, I don't have anything like that. Water, do you have water? Yes, I got water.
you figured out a way.
And we'll leave that story at that.
You have to be persistent.
So you've lived in, I'll say all these Commonwealth countries, in Canada and New Zealand and the UK. And now I assume you are aware about this little election we just had here in the United States.
Did we have an election?
Has
it been decided yet? I forget.
Yes. I would say. So I guess my question is, like, as someone who is very well traveled, I mean, has the chaos of the past 4 years soured you on America, the idea at all?
Honestly, we were lying in bed on election night when it looked like the good guys weren't going to win. Mm. And our conversation was, where shall we run away to? Mm. Seriously. You know, and we were talking about Colombia and Ecuador and Portugal. I mean, that's and Canada, because I have dual citizenship with Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad we felt. Can you hold a second? I'm waiting for someone to call.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
By all means.
So we're listening on this Barry call.
It's Barry. Hey, sweetheart, I'm in. I'm with.
Wait, can I just talk to you for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
You're getting the report from Guanajuato.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll edit.
Wow. Well, let's do it. Yeah. Wow. That'd be wonderful.
Actually, I think we should leave this in.
Okay. Do you want to say hi to these guys? Or are you?
Hi, Louisa.
Hi, Louisa.
Can you hear Stephanie and Andrew?
Okay, we can't.
And with that, she hangs up. Everything okay?
Yeah. No. We have a plantera, a little 14 foot long, 3 feet wide, 3 feet deep planting box there. And we thought when Louisa arrived yesterday, there was water coming through the ceiling from above.
Oh dear.
And we thought we were going to have a dire problem there. And Juan just came over and said, no, it isn't as dire as
we. You say Juan? Juan came over?
Yes, it
was Juan is our man. We could not have this. Is a 150 year old adobe house.
Okay.
Lots of maintenance.
I just like that as we're talking about you potentially planning your escape from America, you get a call from Central Mexico being like, things are not going all that well here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, one other thing I wanted to ask you about before we get out of here is the incident. Just recently, you had a bike incident, and I wanted to ask how you're doing and how you're recovering from that.
August 27th, we were up at Prairie Creek. We do this thing where we have one bike and we relay. So Louisa was in our camper van, I was cycling. And I don't know what happened, because I was concussed and there's about a day missing from my life, but I think I probably hit a rock on the side of the road, and I ended up spending 4 nights in St. Joe's with 3 broken ribs, 1 broken collarbone, a weird finger.
Yeah, you're putting me off again.
And the worst thing was that I had a collapsed lung.
Oh, goodness.
And I had to have a chest tube. And I got to say, it was as I told the nurses, this is about the most excruciating pain I can imagine. And one of them looked at the other and looked at me and said, you've never had a kid, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
there you go.
Barry, how old of a gentleman are you?
78.
78, and you're out there. You're out there crashing bikes. What are you doing?
Yeah,
crashing
incredible.
Bikes. Well, I'm enjoying my old age.
That's how
no,
I
actually, you know, it, I was I've been I'm getting kind of cocky because I've seen quite a few doctors, as you can imagine, and yeah. most of them start off saying, you know, for your age, you know, you're doing, you know, I'm practically healed. The ribs are a bit slow. This is still. I've got four little orphan bits of a bone at the end of my collarbone that are slowly knitting back. I'm not sure if they're going to knit back before I die, but that's the goal, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, and you've been on a bike since the crash?
I have. Yeah. Okay.
You weirdo, Barry.
No, I was seeing a physical therapist, and he started off saying, no bikes and no a kayak. And like 2 weeks later, I'm showing him, I'm doing these exercises with a elastic band and all these. And he says, oh, you're probably good. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so I've been out kayaking in the bay. I love it. I love
it. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And then of course, I mean, that must have been the timing on that, you know, with COVID, that must have put an extra...
Well, you know, the nurses, or doctors, every time they came in, they grabbed a fresh mask. There was a pile of them on the side of the door, put on a mask. And other than that, you wouldn't have known COVID was.
Yeah. Was Louisa still able to come visit you in the hospital?
No. I couldn't have any visitors. And I was in a room with another guy. The worst part, actually, of being in hospital is that he had Fox News on the whole time loud. So I was like,
that
get
surprises
me out of
me.
Here. Yeah. I want to get out of here now.
Yeah. Well, I thought about one thing that I'm supposed to ask you, because Hank wanted to know, you talked about being a retired civil engineer. What is something you engineered?
Oh, bridges. I was mainly a bridge engineer and a highway engineer, and I did that in New Zealand and in England. Yeah. So I was back in England, Canada, and in Bellingham for a while, where we live.
Okay. Wow, that's good.
My grandfather was also a civil engineer on bridges, and there's you mentioned Prairie Creek. He has a bridge dedicated to him on the highway that bypasses Prairie Creek.
The
Delbert A. Brown Memorial Bridge.
I will look out for it next time.
Yeah, it's just part of the highway that goes, yeah.
It's on 101.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah.
That's remarkable.
How about that trivia?
Yeah, my grandfather was not a bridge engineer, so.
Oh, well.
I have no.
Way to bring it down.
Sorry. But that's really fascinating. It kind of sounds like you have always written, though, a bit throughout. I'm just wondering how you ended up retiring from that and then, you know, going into being a columnist.
Just like, decided right? You're a writer?
Yeah.
Halley's Comet. Halley's Comet, 1986. I was teaching my love of science really came through astronomy, and I was teaching a non-credit class at Western Washington University in Bellingham, and I got a call from the editor of the Bellingham Herald, and he said, "Hey, can you write something about Halley's Comet, which was about to appear?" I said, "Yeah, I'll give it a try." He said, "Can you make it local?" and I was about to say something like, "Well, you know, it's going to be a little fuzzy. You know, it doesn't matter where you are; you aren't really going to see anything." But I bit my tongue and said, "Yep, I will absolutely make it, personalized for Bellingham, Washington." And I really enjoyed researching that and writing that. They paid me $25. You know?
There you go. Wow.
And so
the rates haven't changed.
I went back there. A few weeks later and said, would you be interested in a monthly astronomy column? I said, sure. And suddenly I'm writing a lot about astronomy, and This is the book that came out of that.
Okay. Everyday Wonders.
And this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I had another book called The Wrong Way Comet and Other Mysteries of Our Solar System. Both of them were published by McGraw-Hill, or imprints of McGraw-Hill. Back in the days where it was a lot easier to get a popular science book published than it is now.
And you've collected a lot of your columns, your field notes columns into collections that you've published that people can find in local bookstores. Yeah, I think you have. Have you done three of those now?
Hang on, no, five.
Jesus.
My goodness.
We have field notes, the original field notes, because I've been doing for the journal. I've been doing this since 2008, after Don Garlick did the field notes, started the field notes.
Okay.
He's an emeritus geology professor. Lovely guy. So every 80 columns I'll put into a compendium, and I'll clean it up and add stuff and put in more pictures and make it into a book. So we started off with field notes, then we had son of field notes, then we had bride of field notes, then we had curse of field notes, and currently
field notes revenge.
Revenge of field
notes.
Wow. Yeah. Fantastic. So every couple of years I'll put together a compendium. A lot of fun, and you know, people buy them. It's fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
I realize I really enjoy putting a book together using page layout program. There's something very satisfying about taking these old columns and giving them another lease on life, and make it, you know, a book's a book. There's something absolutely satisfying books. About a book.
Yes, they're fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Barry, as I say, you know, I appreciate you stepping into the Zoom room with us. I know this is a weird, I don't know, what are we even doing here? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Does anyone actually listen to?
That's a great question. That is a wonderful question. We'll have to see if people get mad at you
because many.
Yes, but we like to think that some people listen, so we'll see. Yeah.
Actually, we just got word, Barry, that the up at Humboldt State, they're compiling an archive of COVID Humboldt media, and they are archiving all of these podcasts at Humboldt State for posterity.
Yes, they contacted the company and said that they thought that Humboldt Holding Up would be a good addition to that. And so, you know, we're very
honored. Will last forever.
Yeah.
So when I'm long gone.
Yeah, when will that be? I think you're going to live forever, Barry.
Well, I think Andrew, I think I've told you my actual goal in life is to die with more countries visited than my age.
Okay, so yes.
I'm batting 80 for 78 right now. Okay. So I'm doing pretty good. Yeah.
What's like the big chunk of the world that you haven't been to?
Oh, Africa.
Okay.
I did. I've been in North Africa a little bit, and then a couple of years ago, Luis and I both really enjoyed doing volunteer gigs overseas through USAID.
Yeah.
And I was in Rwanda for nearly three weeks.
Yeah.
And
Jet on over to West Africa. You can just stack those countries up. You just go Togo, Benin.
You think, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Just they're real compact over there. Liberia, Sierra Leone.
Just,
come on.
Just right through. But
wow.
Yeah. They 44 hours flying time.
Wow. Well, I have to say, Barry, for somebody who has as well traveled as you, we're honored that you have chosen to spend so much time in Eureka, California.
Oh, we love it.
In Humboldt County.
We love Eureka. We love it.
We love you. Thank you for joining us.
Bless your heart. Thank you for having me.
And enjoy Mexico. You're ditching us.
My heart is broken. Yeah, you're ditching us. So.
Yeah, I'll be flying on Thanksgiving Day. So.
All right. Don't let your arms get tired.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Barry.
Thanks, Barry.
Bye. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Of course.
Bye-bye. Okay.
All right, that's it. Barry Evans on a podcast. This is good. Historic.
Yes, and yeah, of course, because now we know that the Humboldt Holding Up podcast is going to be archived for all of time.
There's going to be cockroaches in this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
As we mentioned before, wear a mask, stay dry. Or go out and play in the rain. I don't care.
And get a test. That's what they're telling us now. Just do it. Just do it.
Humboldt. Goodbye.